so much, Connie. If you enjoy the gospel music, you know, we have a great privilege here in Llano at the Lantex every third Saturday at 7:30. Tony Griffith and them down at the Lantex, and Connie has been there, and Blaine, and Shirley, and many of the other people that we've had come up and be in our services and all attend that, and they perform and they sing there that night, and you get to hear a whole group. I hear so many people say, you know, I just would like to hear some good gospel music. Well, folks, it's there. So you got to support it. You need to go and listen and spread the word and tell the other folks around you, hey, this is happening on Saturday night. It is really a shame that we can see a packed auditorium of over 100 people for the country night and not do that on gospel night. And it's the exact same quality performers, I promise you. But more importantly, it comes with an awesome spiritual message through every one of those songs. And Connie, I think you did what you set out to do. You can feel those songs as you sing them. Outstanding. Connie does have some CDs back there if you're interested. They're back here on the back table. And tell her after the service if you enjoyed her and let her know how much we appreciate her. And Vicki, glad you come up. And glad to have you with us. All right, we have been on the on our series of the Ten Commandments. Today we are on the sixth commandment, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. And it is the 13th verse. It's not a long verse, it's relatively short. Thou shalt not kill. That's it. All in a nutshell, thou shalt not kill. We say, well, that's not that really big a deal. We kind of understand thou shalt not kill. That means we don't murder anybody, right? It's a simple thing. But at the same time, really look at what that scripture and what God is talking about in that. Number one thing to note is this is the sixth commandment. You go back to Genesis in the first chapter, and you begin to read creation. Guess what God created on the sixth day? Man. So to set the stage for this commandment, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill, number one is you have to understand that God is the creator of life. He has the very breath of life. The existence. From the time we're born until the day that we no longer breathe, each breath that we draw are a gift from God. None of us are told you will live a certain number of years and so many days and so many hours. That's not in our time plan. That's in God's time plan. We have that breath until God says, it's time for you to come home. And it is not mine or your place, nor anyone else's place, to extinguish that life any sooner. And when we talk about thou shalt not kill here, thou shalt not murder, that is not in the same category as when we have people off in wartime and at war. If you doubt that, begin to go back to Genesis and look in the 6th through the 8th chapter. God talks about it. You will also find in the 9th chapter of Genesis that thou shalt not kill does not include capital punishment. God deals with capital punishment in chapter 9. And he talks about in chapter 9 when there is not capital punishment, what ramifications and effects that is going to cause. It's a good study worth looking at. Thou shalt not kill here means talks about the premeditated intention of taking another one's life. We have seen in the recent years, just within the past year, we saw this and it brought back up again as Virginia Tech played yesterday. They had a remembrance of the senseless killings, the murders that took place on their campus. Within the last few weeks, we have talked about the killings that took place over and started with a shooting over here in Llano County, ended with a man losing his life in Marble Falls, four more in Williamson County. The guy killed another lady in Pennsylvania before he was apprehended. That's murder. That's the taking of the life. Thou shalt not kill. But that actually goes a little bit further in that. And thou shalt not kill not only deals with the physical actions of taking premeditatedly another person's life, but it also deals with what we have another big question in our society about, the fact of whether there should be abortion or non-abortion. God deals with that too. We have a very large legal debate about exactly when does life begin. Well, if we're going to talk about taking life, we have to know when, in fact, it does begin. If you flip over to Jeremiah, in the first book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 5, God tells you when life begins right through His Word. We've talked about that before. There's not anything that is happening out in our society today, in our world in which we live, that God hadn't already put the answers and the questions in the book. They're there. We just have to be diligent enough to read it and take the time to do that and to look at it. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." So when does life begin? Even before we were in the womb, God knew about us. He was already looking at our life and knowing what we were going to be. Follows that up right out of Scripture. He's talking to Jeremiah. He says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." God had already called Jeremiah and knew specifically what task He was going to have him do throughout his life, even before he was in his mother's womb. See, God is the Creator, and that's where we as people fail to understand that, and we try to make laws and regulations about things that belong to God. It is not our decision about a life. It is His. Every life that God creates is precious. Each one of you are precious to Him. He has a specific plan in mind when He created each one of us. The plan for me is not the same for Rail. It's not the same for Mary. It's not the same for Royce. It's not the same for Shirley. It's individual. We may end up doing and crossing paths and doing certain things of like manner and together, but God had a specific reason for each one of us. He knew each one of us before we were ever born. See, oftentimes, and the question comes then, well, it's not my desire to have this life, so therefore we're going to abort it. It was never your or my decision to begin with. God makes that decision what children are brought into this world. God makes the decision what child you and I have. We talked about this on honor of the father and thy mother. We had no choice who our parents were. That's a gift from God. And by and large, them parents didn't have no choice whether they had me or not. That was a gift from God. Gift or curse, whichever way you look at it. But one or the other, it wasn't their choice, right? But adoption's a whole other thing. And relating into not killing, that it's not mine in your place, not only is it His place to take life, it's His place to give life. And because each one of us are so special to Him, He took a life by the name of Jesus Christ, His Son, to give each one of us, offer us the opportunity to have life for all of eternity, to adopt us as His children. We discussed that as we talked about the Lord's Supper in communion, that was in remembrance of what Jesus Christ had done for us. So there's not really to... At least as far as I can see, you know, that's one thing we're real good at as people. We can make the simplest things so complicated. We've had years of debate on this issue. It's real plain and simple. God says, "I knew you before you were ever formed in the womb." There's where life begins. And God sanctified that life. Real simple, back in Exodus says, "Thou shalt not kill." That means it's not mine and your choice. That's His choice. So you sit there and you say, "Well, I hadn't killed nobody. I probably thought about it a couple of times." Now, ladies, don't look at your husband when you say that, okay? It is still illegal to kill your spouse, isn't it, Ray? Amen. The reason we have laws. We'd be in trouble if we didn't. And so, well, I really hadn't planned on killing nobody, not been part of the abortion or anything, so I'm doing pretty good with this. Wait a minute, one last thing, and thou shalt not kill. And this is probably the one that every one of us needs to really think about and consider. James takes a full chapter in the third chapter of James and talks about the untamed tongue. You see, oftentimes you and I can kill, not in a physical way, but we can kill a spirit just by what we say out of our mouths. Even sometimes by what we don't say out of our mouths. Thou shalt not kill. We had earlier about honor thy father and thy mother. Paul, we talked about over in Ephesians, takes it further and he begins to talk to the fathers and the mothers. And he says, do not come to the point, and I'm paraphrasing it, but do not come to the point that you enrage your children. You see, oftentimes we can take our children and really affect and kill their spirit. When we go out here and we take a young horse and we begin to work with that horse and we want to break that horse so that we can ride it, we want to break his willingness not to let us on him. A good horse trainer never wants to break the spirit within that horse. Want to build upon it. And yes, there's a time and a place as we raise our children, we have to tame and bring all their actions within bounds. But we don't want to kill their spirit. We don't want to impact them so that they just care about nothing. And not only for children, because each one of us are human, you and I were a child at one time or another. I know sometimes that's hard for our children to believe that we were ever that small, but we were, weren't we, Kurt? We were young once. We were that young. And we were children. And we do understand things that they want to do that we also, when we were that age, wanted to do and can't do. But at the same time, because we were all people, we can impact one another's lives just as we impact a child. As fragile as life is within the physical realm of our bodies, and God gave us a lot of defense mechanisms and a lot of way to overcome things, but our emotional status within our own personal selves is also very fragile. In fact, probably it is more fragile than our physical bodies, because with a harsh word, we can inflict more pain and devastation on a person than we could if we took a baseball bat to them. Thou shalt not kill does not only mean in the physical, but it means in the emotional and the spiritual sense. You know, as I really begin to study this and think about that, that really impacted me on the things that I say and I do with those around me. Am I causing pain? And heartache and discomfort. God really begin to use that and say, you know, thou shalt not kill does not just mean in the physical, but it remains in how we care for one another. Over and over again, we read in the Scripture how that Jesus looked on the multitudes and He had compassion. How He cared for His people. And He loved you and I even before we loved Him. That care, that compassion. That's where He wants you and I to be like Him. You know, to be real honest, there's some of us that just ain't lovable. We're really not. It's hard to love us. But God does, and God always sees what is best in what He has created. And a lot of times, in order to love and care for some folks, the only way we can really do that is through the eyes of Jesus Christ being within our heart. Because then suddenly, when you look through His eyes, you begin to see some good things about that ugly person. It's real hard to be angry at someone and want to be mad at them and even have the thought in your mind of hoping they have some type of tragedy come into their life because of the way they've done you if you're praying for them. Don't believe me? Try it. Try to really be mad at somebody and go to God and pray for them. Won't happen. Even if you try to do it just nonchalant, yeah, God, I hope you bless him. Well, you know, Lord, what I was talking about. And before long, God begins to break that heart down. You cannot pray for somebody and be mad at them. If you can, let me know, because I have found it to be physiologically impossible. God begins to break down your heart. And once you begin to pray for them, guess what then starts happening? You know, all of a sudden, that boss is not near as bad as what I thought he was. And you know what? He hadn't changed a bit, but it was me.
For that individual, God began to change them in their life.
Like the mic went out. God began to change those people within their life because he changed me and because I was willing to pray for them. Thou shalt not kill. If nothing else out of this, I hope it has made you think about this simple commandment of thou shalt not kill not only deals with the physical. Unfortunately, you and I can be guilty very much every day of causing some pain. You know, as I looked at that, what I have to look at is say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. And then I need to go to those people and ask for their forgiveness and try to make things right. I would challenge you with that. I will tell you up front, just as you heard Connie sing and just as we've talked about from the very beginning of this service, those things are not possible. You cannot do it on your own. You have to have Jesus Christ in your heart. He is the only way you can look at some of those ugly people and see beauty. And what a beauty he makes out of them, though. The other thing I would tell you before we close today is keep in mind, because this killing also talks about, and we have to look at the final ramification of people getting so depressed that they take their own life. Please understand, you are very special to our Lord. He created you for a reason and a purpose. Each one of us are a masterpiece, strictly made to his design, that he knew exactly why he was making us before we ever hit our mother's womb. You're special. You're so special that God sent his only son just for you and for me, for each one of us. If everybody else in this life was perfect and only one of us was bad, you know what? God would have still sent Jesus Christ to that cross just for that one. If you don't know him today, we want to give you that opportunity. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes.